Well, God bless you all, and I'm really thankful to God, number one, to be here, because it's God that works in the hearts and provides everything and works in people. And I want to give glory to God for my life, and I want to serve God. And the way we serve God is by serving one another, and we allow him to work in us. And now, I've been on a big, long journey, like a lot of us here. I've been on a journey with God, and I've had different doctrines, different backgrounds. I started off in Pentecostal church and Baptist, Methodist, you name it, I've been there. And then I took a wonderful class called Power for Abundant Living, which was a great class, which helped me on my way. And then I met a wonderful man called Mr. Sangeet Bains, who is actually my minister, and he lives in India, and he's a fantastic man, and he really walks with the Spirit of God. And there was a time when we left this way international, and I was on my own for about 10 years. And in that 10 years, I was asking God, send someone to me to speak something into my life so I know what I'm doing with you. It took 10 years, but I prayed every day this prayer, that simple prayer. And Sangeet come along, and God opened a door and arranged it that he come across my path. And then he come to my home. And as he began to share, he said, oh, now I know why I'm here. And he looked straight at me and said, you're going to move the word in all of the UK and the whole of Europe. And I knew that was for me. It was like, I was the only one in the room. And I just grabbed that and I thought, this is what I'm going to do then for God. And then he said, and the way that you will do this is through how Abraham received the promise. So I'm there for the next 2 years wondering, how did Abraham receive the promise? Didn't even think about faith. And I'm thinking, how did Abraham receive that? What did he do? What did he, you know, it's all about faith. So anyway, it finally dropped on me. Oh, he believed. He believed God. So I just got to believe this word to me. There's nothing I can see physically in the senses realm for that to happen, right? No chance that that's going to happen, because I don't know anyone outside of Bristol. I know a couple of people in the US. That's about it. And that was the one who actually hooked me up with Sangeet. And so anyway, I believed. I started to believe and I started to pray. Thank God for this. And that was, so I met Sangeet in 2003. And then in 2005, I found out he was in Oxford. And so I rung up the people there and I said, can I come to... He came to do the seminar, How to Heal the Sick and Cast Out Devils. And so I asked, could I come up for the class? And they said, no, but you can come to the end of the meeting, like the Sunday fellowship. I thought, all right, it's a bit weird that they would say no to me, but I said, okay, yeah, I'll come up on the Sunday. And the night before that, I had 2 hours sleep because I was so excited to see Sangeet. But God gave me a dream, and I'm talking about a proper dream, just like Joseph had a dream and God revealed things to him. God done the same for me. It was so real, undeniable. I can remember every bit of it right now. I'm not going to go into it. And I woke up and I couldn't even speak because I had so much peace like I've never had before in my whole life. And Kim was going, you all right? I can't speak, love. I'm really blessed, but I'll let you know later. You know, just leave me alone. You know, I didn't want to lose this peace. It was so powerful. And we drove all the way up to Oxford, which was about an hour and 45 minutes. And I seen Sangeet. And Sangeet went, I thought, oh, you know, only acknowledgement. Like, you know, I thought he must have forgot about me. Like, you know, because we had a good chat when he come to my home. He stayed at my home that first time. Anyway, as we get in there, he starts to share. God's looking for full-time people, people that are going to live fully unto God. And that sharing was for me. I know it was addressing everyone, but it was for me. It was the confirmation that I needed to finally give up my job. So after that sharing, I went to my wife, Kim, who had a big problem with it. And I said, oh, by the way, as of today, I don't go back to work. And she said, it's about time. Now, we nearly divorced over this, literally. I left the house and everything, packed up my stuff and left. Because I thought she was stopping me doing what God wanted me to do. Then God told me to go back. And he worked it all out. And God put in my heart specific words, which was, you take care of my business and I'll take care of yours. So before I went and said to her that I was going full time, I said, God, you said, if I take care of your business, you take care of mine. And Kim's my business. So you've got to take care of her. So when she said to me, it's about time, it was like a real big answer to prayer, because Kim's very vicious, right? Being the wife and all that. So I'm a little timid there in front of her. So she's a big lady, and she with a big heart and very determined lady also. But she God humbled up and worked in her heart. So from that time, God just brought people into our lives for us to do this, to travel. I've travelled throughout Europe. We ministered in Europe. We've seen lots of healings, blind eyes open, big lumps in the stomachs disappearing, people being able to walk, legs being straightened out. Went to India, learnt how to minister there with the power of God, come back, brought it to England, brought it to Europe, ministered all over the place in the USA as well. We've been all over the place in the USA. I met Ted in 2008, wasn't it, Fred? Ted? Yeah, we'd done a lot of ministering there in Denver back then. And then God's just opened up so, so many doors, you know. But there's always been a challenge. There's always been a challenge, or who are you? Who do you think you are? You know, you don't know nothing. You're not way core or special training and all this type of stuff. But I never stop doing what God will put in my heart to do. And the more I do this, the more bolder I get. The more I don't care about what people have got to say about what God's showing me to do. And the way we test anything is the fruit. You just look at the fruit in the people's lives. You know, people that are doing certain way, you know, they've got good hearts. We can't judge anyone, okay? But we can see what they're doing, what they're teaching. But what's the fruit? Are people really being touched? Are lives really being changed in the sense of how we minister? So the doctrine is very important. And so there was a period of time I didn't connect with Sangha, and I was on my own. It was like being in the wilderness. In fact, it's a quiet place to grow, the wilderness. It's not a bad place at all. But I was on my own. That was the only thing. But in that time, I'm praying to God, where do I go? What do I do? What's right? What's wrong? I don't even know what to believe anymore, God. Don't let me go mad. I felt like I was going mad because I didn't know what was right. Because you had this minister that I respected, and this minister that I respected, and this minister I respected. They all knew how to research. They all knew how to teach, but they couldn't even agree with each other. That's a head mess, isn't it? You know, that's a head mess. That's going to mess with anyone, especially when you love God with all your heart and you want to move, and it's the doctrine that's stopping everything. So doctrine is how to believe rightly. But what is the doctrine? Is it teaching you how to believe rightly? Is it teaching you as an individual that you go to God? Now, God's a God of order also. So it's not that we are lone rangers and we just do our own thing. There's no safety in that there. There's safety in a multitude of counsellors, right? And God will organise things how he wants it to move. And we should submit to that moving and prompting of God. Now, we're free to do what we want, right? Grace, we're free. Actually, if you want to think I'm religious, we're free to do what God wants us to do. That's what we're free to do. You're brought with a price. Your life is not your own. So now we serve God. Jesus is Lord. What does that mean? Oh, Jesus is Lord, yes, and I believe God raised him from the dead. I'm saved. No, Jesus is your Lord. That means he's dictating your life. He's giving you direction. And then through your free will choice and heart, you're going to follow, right? That sounds a little bit religious, doesn't it? But that's the truth. And so God is looking for people, I'll say what Sangit says, that are going to see these truths and honour him in those truths by living that life dedicated to him. Yes, you're still in grace. Now, what I learned when I went back to India, because I reconnected, God opened the doors for me to reconnect back to Sangha, right? And I said some pretty right-off things to Sangha's face, because that's how I operate. If I've got something to say to you, I will really say it. And it weren't very nice things I said to Sangha, but Sangha, you know, he walks with God, and God worked great grace in his heart, and we was able to connect back up. And when I went to India, I got caught over there in the lockdown. And I'm there to learn. And that's what I was going to ask you guys, why I'm sharing. Just think about this one thing. Why are you actually here? What have you come here for? That's a good thing to think about, right? So anyway, my heart when I went to India was, I want to really move with God. No messing about this time. If I can't do it this time, I don't never do it at all. So God knew my heart was serious. And God will take you serious when you are serious. Now you may think, well, yeah, of course I'm serious. I've been living my life this... No, serious to do what he wants you to do. He'll take you up on it and he'll bless you tremendously, right? So I'm there and I'm saying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And God said to me, do exactly what this man says. And I said, well, what if he's wrong? And God just put in my heart very bluntly, just do what he says. Now, am I going to listen and obey? God's given me free will choice, but he can talk to me how he wants. He's God. And didn't he talk like that to the men and women of the past who rose up and done great things that were in doubt and weren't too sure? Well, I certainly was in doubt, but I said, okay, God, I'll do it. And before I left India, I said to Sangeet, what do I need to do to help the people in the West get moving like the Indians and the Nepali people are moving in India? Now, in India and Nepal, people that believe God, each individual, lots of them are not educated at all, can't read the Bible, but they can hear. They can hear what's being said. And they're humble and they're meek. They come from poor backgrounds. A lot of these people have been healed, been raised from the dead, been healed of AIDS, been healed of cancer. Whole families coming to God. And they're moving in the power of God. You can't deny this stuff. I've been there 30 times to India. I've been 17 times to Nepal. I've seen these things begin. And I've seen it grow and maintained. And they keep maintaining and keep growing and keep regrowing. And it's time for us in the West to do the same. This is what's in my heart to God. And I said, I want to be a part of that. I want to spearhead and lead that. You said I'm going to move the word in all of the UK and the whole of Europe. So how about the USA now then? And then so God opened the door for me. I'm pretty bold in what I pray to God. And you got to be that way. Because God, why would we be afraid to pray to God? God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love and a sound mind. And he can really work in you powerfully. God wants us to live unto him. So Sangeet said to me, okay, well, the way that you're going to do it, he said, is that when someone gets born again, you get them to speak in tongues straight away, speak in tongues. And he said, after that, get them to speak by the Spirit. Just speak. I said, what, not teach them? No, just speak. God will give them the words. And he says, and then get them to honour God with their substance. I know Sakina said honour the minister, but we honour to the minister, but we're honouring God. The money needs to go to a minister, right? And then from that, I come back and the first thing I taught was teach these three things. It's right on the front website and on our YouTube channel, but it's on my website and it's on the right-hand side. Teach these three things. And that was speaking in tongues, speaking by the Spirit, and honour God with your substance. After that, God reminded me of staying connected and praying for labourers. So those five things we encourage. Those five things, if you do them, it's not a law, it's not a requirement, but if you do that, it keeps you strong. It keeps you focused. It keeps you moving. And it's up to you whether you do it or not. I'm not checking up if you're doing it. Are you speaking in tongues, Sakina? You know? But when people come to me and they've got needs in their life, you know, you can gauge what's going on. And God can really inspire you what to say to each individual, because everyone here is different. And God is the one that's bringing the connections. Like Sakina connects me. I can't even remember again. Is it through Feeder, wasn't it? Yeah. It's through Feeder, Sakina connected to me. Dylan, another guy. His mum used to listen to me, is that right? And then your mum fell asleep, sadly.
Yeah, 6 years ago. And wow. I came back after 6 years, you know, randomly.
Yeah, he come back searching me out. Mary, out of the blue. And then she'd been watching me on the thing. And then she comes there. Shelley also come, didn't you, Shell? And I knew her husband before. So the point is, and then Ethel. Oh, my God, Ethel, yeah, you're a miracle as well. And then Bambi. So God done all these connections. I didn't go after anyone. And also Judy as well. You know, Judy knew me through the Norwegian believers. And she can testify of the healings and the things that took place in Norway, because she probably heard them through Carl Morton and Siri and Ida and the things that we're doing. And they invited me every time. I never asked to go. They always invited me. 1 year I went 7 times to Norway. There's got to be something going on for that to happen, right? And I was always going to Finland and France and all that, traveling with Sangeet. I learned a lot for Sangeet, how to do things, how to set things up, like this meeting. When we would go to Europe, Sangeet called me and says, now, I want you to call the believers, the ones that we're going to their countries, and ask if they're divided between them my business flight, because I'm coming all the way from India to England and I'm leaving my family, I'm serving, they want my time and your time. He said, would you ask them to do that? So that's where I learned that from. And it's the right thing to do, because if people can't give where they're being fed, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. You know, if there's no proper honouring God and then genuine heart there, there's a problem. You know, you're not going to go far. You're not going to see the outreach like you could see it. Right? Because God is a God of order. He wants all these things in place. It's God that wants them. Our job is to encourage it. My job is just to encourage people to do these things. I'm not chasing you, saying, have you done this? Should you have done that? Now, if you come to me and there's things not going right, I say, are you doing the things we're encouraging? Are you listening to the sharings? Like, that's a good place to start. Like, listening and then doing the things. Because a lot of people, not everyone, are used to listening. That was a great sharing. And they don't go and practice anything. They don't do nothing. So then nothing happens. And they say, well, you know, it's just how it is, isn't it? It's just the culture. No, it's not. You are the world changer. You are filled with the Spirit of God. Doesn't matter if it's your first time here. Even the little one can move, your grandson. He can move up and walk and start talking now. If he wants to speak now, you can speak now for God, you know. You can do it. God will give you words. You just open your mouth. Anyone can do this. I'm not special. I'm the same as you. I just got a function to do. And my desire is to live unto God and then to encourage you. If you want to do this, you can do this. This is why I said, why are you here? You're not here for a vacation, really. Right? We're not here for a vacation, even though we are kind of having one, right? Praise God for that. God wants us to enjoy ourselves. But what are you here for? What are you after? What are you going to take away with you and take home and do? See, when I leave here, I'm not moving the word in Conway or in South Carolina. It's not my field. Now, I may have a labourer that lives in this field, but it's Sakina's field. Doesn't matter if there's any other leaders there. It's Sakina's field. And this is one wonderful woman of God. You heard her share, like powerful. Spirit of God operate. And we all can be go off and get a little bit funny in our heads or whatever. That's fine, but as long as we come back to God, you know. And God is doing a great thing. So do you want to be a part of it? Invitation now. I'm giving you an invitation to walk with God. Not me, because I'm just a man. But God says, now you can do what this guy Lawrence is telling you. You can do this. You know, but you need to connect. And that was one thing saying it was saying about connections. You know, you connect where God shows you. You don't need to go anywhere else. You connect where God shows you. That's where you're being fed, is where you honor God. So there's no problems of where do I get this honoring God. Now, outside of that, you can give whatever you want, but give where you're being fed. You know, because the minister's got to live, right? And God needs meat in his house. He says it all in the scriptures. And you're going to get blessed. You're going to. And see, look, this honoring God is not just about getting money. We never give to get. We give to worship God. That's where we give to worship God. It's called honoring God, worship. So that's the first thought we should have in our heart when we ever give. And then we should give it liberally unto God. Freely from our hearts we give to God. Now God says, here, multiply our seed sown. So he's going to multiply it. He said, this is his part, not our part. Here, multiply our seed sown. He'll increase the fruits of our righteousness. We're already righteous. But he says he increased the fruits of it. The works. That's, you want to see great works? Honor God. He increased the fruits of your righteousness. Here calls all grace to abound towards you. We're in the age of grace. So we need some more grace in what we're doing, right? And it calls you to abound to every good work. What? Laying bricks? Building houses? No. God, building God's kingdom here on earth. You know, getting people coming from darkness to light. Getting them into the kingdom of God. Getting people to turn to the one true God. And God wants you to be as bold as this when you're preaching. So I'm people that don't know. No, and devil spirits are under your feet. They really are. Don't be afraid of anything. No apprehensions. Be bold. How do you think Paul moved? How do you think Timothy moved? Silas moved? No, Timothy was a pretty timid guy. But God delivered him and Paul had to encourage him. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but a power, love and a sound mind. So you can think properly. You can move properly. And listen, if you're not getting problems...
I'm sorry, Lawrence, but you're about to go out.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. If you're not coming across problems...
I got caught.
Yeah. If you're not getting problems, then there is something wrong, because there is an enemy. Not that we believe for problems, but don't think that you're off the word or you're out of fellowship with God because something coming against you. That's bullshit. Excuse my language, but it is. You're going to get that. Paul, he had those situations come up. Now, we don't believe for that. We believe to have a smooth run, right? But if things come up, okay, now you go to God, Father. Now, and God says, okay, son, daughter, I've given you the authority. You have the power, right? So we can pray. So we go take our request to God. But we can also use our authority, you know? If you've got lack, tell the lack to go. Tell the poverty spirits to get out. Tell the hindrance spirits to go out. And, like, if you want to prosper, listen, I know people are buying a share. They may not see an increase in their profits. And the reason why is because stewardship is a big thing. And God worked that in my heart, and it's on the website, what we've done. And I would encourage you to all go and listen to it if you feel the need to do that. Stewardship is very important. Your money should serve you, not you serve money. Money is a tool for you to use for your blessing and for the kingdom of God. Firstly, really, for the kingdom of God, and then for your blessing. Right? So if you're overspending somewhere, then that's your fault, isn't it? And then you think, well, God's not blessing me. Well, he has, but you just got to sponsor up the wall. You've wasted it. You've just got to please yourself. You just want to give it away without God showing you to give it there. See? Do what God should. Spend your money with God, and then you'll have a great time. You'll have more products. I mean, I've got many products. I even got mascara. Do you know that? I'm not gay or anything like that, but I don't like the grey on my beard. So I got this mascara. It's called Scandalize. And I touch it up. Only because I don't like grey. That's the only reason why, right? But it's a little bit of a joke. But the point is, God wants you to have what you want. He wants you to have great abundance. He wants you to be blessed, right? He wants you to come from any pit you're in to the palace. He wants you to have abundance, but you have to listen. And if you listen, find out what you need to do, and then practice those things, because faith and practice, right? We need to practice these things. If you're not good at money, you can become good at money. I was crap with money. I was always in debt. I was brought up, my mum had a poverty mindset. My mum was a drug dealer. We lived in a squat. I used to go to the butchers and pretend my mum died or someone died in the family and got no food, and they used to give me bones. That was when I was 7 or 8. They used to think, oh, he's so cute, you know. So I know about poverty. I was brought up in it. And I never used to speak like this either. I used to be a proper Londoner. You know what I mean, mate? Swearing every other word. You know what I mean? But God kind of took me out of that, brought me to Bristol, changed me speech, yeah, I feel it. Changed my speech and then took me to another place called Somerset. And now when I go to London to see my brothers or sisters, they say, oh, you're so posh, aren't you? What, what, what? But for me, I feel like I'm talking the same. But see, God will get you to be what you need to be, you know? And he'll take care of you. And the only reason people struggle financially is because of mismanagement. That's all it is, you know? I've done it for years. And I learnt the hard way, you know what I mean? And then I learnt to honour God. I didn't really want to honour God. I didn't want to give my money away. I'm trying to get it. You're telling me to give it away? So it's all about paradigms, programming, your mindset. So these fellowships here, what we're doing now, initially is to encourage, but then if you want to be worked with, if you want your life to change, then you need to become humble. Say, I want my life to change. I want to do this. You know, I want to be a good mum, I want to be a good dad, I want to be a good grandfather, I want to be this, I want to be that, I want to be good with my money, I want to be able to bless people. No, God wants us blessed to be a blessing, not to be stinking rich. We can be stinking rich, but to be a blessing. You know what I mean? So it's like God set it all up in the scriptures there. There's more talked about money in the word than anything else. And God's saying, I want you to have this. And I'm thinking to myself, well, why am I poor then? Because there's certain things I had to learn. There's certain things God wants me to understand. So this getting together, connecting where you're being fed, you should be getting good food spiritually, and it should be very practical that you can easily do it. See? And then, but you've got, like, leaders have got to be straight with the people. You're going to be disliked. I'm very much disliked. I love it. If I'm not disliked, I'm not doing something right. I'm doing something wrong. And some people like me too. Some people become an arsehole. It doesn't matter, right? To me, that used to bother me. Do I worry now? Do I look bothered? As I say, bothered, like the teenagers say. Do I look bothered? I'm not bothered anymore, but I am concerned that people go to God, that people get the truth, that people get set free, that people can prosper and be in health. And I got no agenda, right? My agenda is to promote God and to have labourers come to me and to work with the labourers to get them doing the work like I'm doing. Exactly the same. And for it to multiply. That's my agenda. So if you ever want to know what I'm after, I'm not after your money, even though I could do with some of it. That's God's job to provide for it. And that's honest truth. I'm working for him. He has to supply me.
And I've been a full-time minister since 2005. When there was no one there, I went full-time in debt. And God got me out of debt. He's blessed me. He's prospered me. And God's done that. And I was in the bathroom getting ready to stay. I run out to you. Then I said, you know, I know why I'm a leader. What did I say? There was a specific word I said. But I said, I know why I'm a leader. Because I'm absolutely crap. I don't know what I'm doing. And God uses me to bring glory to himself through my life. And that's the truth. If we know it all, then we're going to miss it all. And really, I'm here because God has done something for me. God has filled me with his glory and his wisdom and his understanding. And I submit to God. That's all I've had to do. And then just say, okay, God, I'll speak to you. I'll go. No. I'll be the fool for Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And that's what it's like. So, but I'm living the best life. I'm free. I'm truly free. And I'm following all these things. It's not... Oh, it's a bit religious for me. You've got to be really committed. Yeah, we've got to follow Jesus. You've got to be committed. Right? If you want to see the abundance, the blessings, the power, the healing, the deliverance, you've got to be committed. And this is what God's doing in the West now. Because this is what's happening in India and in Nepal. And they've got this on a consistent basis. I've met people being raised that have been raised from the dead. I've been there when people had legs and couldn't walk and they've just grown out in front of them. Eyes growing out, ears. Deaf and dumb being healed. Even my son Danny ministered to a little boy in Punjab who was dumb and deaf, and he got complete deliverance. His whole family come to the word. Anyone can minister that has a desire for God and is born again of the Spirit of God, and it's just simply going to be there and move, you know? So just get moving. And God works with many different people. Bambi's got many wonderful testimonies, and how God took care of her in Nicaragua, and what great testimonies they were, and even now. Like, so there's many people there. We all walk with God. No one's bigger, better than anybody else. And God wants you to take your eyes off anyone and put them on him. Don't look at each other. Don't look at anyone after the flesh. We're to know no man after the flesh. And that's what it says in the scriptures, right? They didn't even know Jesus after the flesh once he was raised. So we don't know no man after the flesh. And as he is, Jesus is right now at the right hand side of God in all his glory, so are we in this world. That's our potential. That's the glory and manifestation of we're walking by the Spirit. So that's my encouragement, darling. And thank you very much, Sakina. And thank you for asking me to share that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. From God, thank you. 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 Thank you